Hello and welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast with me, Andrea Maxim, naturopathic doctor turned healthpreneur. And every week I'm bringing you no nonsense, no BS, actionable strategies to create a practice that is not only profitable, but fully sustainable by you. If you're an action taker like me and want to create a practice that is profitable, then you've come to the right place. Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening in on another episode of the Profitable Practice Podcast. I am, of course, your host, Andrea Maxim, and I brought on a very special guest, Kenna Whitnell, who is a student and launched her business while still studying in university. And I thought that that would be a beautiful interview for you to listen to, especially for those of you who are students and listening to this podcast. So thank you very much for doing that. But this is one of the big questions that I get is, what can I do as a student to make sure that my business is successful? And as we go through that interview, she does give some really amazing, very insightful mindset strategies and how she approached her business. And I really hope that you pay attention to them, because that's exactly how I want you to graduate. If you graduate and you start your business then, that's fine. That's what I did. I didn't start my business while I was in school. But with the advent of the internet, it does allow us to do a lot more things to at least start building our list, building our exposure, so that when we do start, we can be a lot more successful. So I cannot wait to jump into that interview. But first things first, I want to invite you to a free masterclass I did on how you can extend the lifetime value of your patients or clients by creating an in-office or online signature program. So that is about an hour long. There's no reason why you can't sit for an hour and watch that entire webinar, but I want to invite you to go to maximizedbusiness.ca/program webinar and listen in on that masterclass, because whether you have a business or not, creating a signature program is what's going to set you apart, and it's going to make running your business a heck of a lot easier. So maximizebusiness.ca/program webinar. But without further ado, let's jump into the interview with Kenna. Hi, Kenna. Thank you so much for being on the Profitable Practice Podcast today. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, Andrea, so much for having me today.
And I am super pumped about our conversation today, because I get this all the time. I go to the naturopathic college and kind of like introduce and welcome the new students to the college and the school and kind of lay out what they're going to expect over the next 4 years. And one of the biggest things that students always come up to me and say is, what can I start doing now as a student to help build my business and make sure that I am successful when I graduate from here? So I'm thrilled to be talking to you as a student who has created a wonderful plant-based product line. And we're going to jump into that. But first, why don't you let everybody know kind of like who you are and what your background is and how you kind of brought your business to where it is now?
For sure. So I am a biochemistry major at the University of Guelph. And so I actually started a business in my first year of university. I always had a passion for plants and science. And so in my first year, my university friends actually were seeing all these unlabeled vials and jars on my cabinet, and they were like, what's going on here? And they wanted to buy my skincare products. So from that moment, I kind of realized that, oh, maybe this has some business potential. So I am the founder and CEO of a sustainable plant-based skincare company, Altilis Beauty. And what makes us very different is we actually use a novel skincare ingredient that was invented or discovered by myself throughout my university experience.
Oh my goodness. So you kind of like were doing this on as like a side gig, just kind of for yourself, and then people started asking you more for it. So how do we take the leap from having something that would be, you know, and I don't mean to downplay it, but for some people a hobby, to now into a full-fledged business? Yeah, while being a student, of course.
Yeah, so I definitely went through many different phases. When I first started my business, it was very custom and it was very specific, and I would do personalized skincare systems for friends and family, all on the basis of aromatherapy and really designing really custom systems just for them. And so I did that for about a year, and I realized that it was not scalable by any means. I kind of was at the limit I was with how much I could, how many people I could see, how many kind of products I could make a month, and everything like that. So I kind of hit a plateau where I knew that that was not going to be, a long-term scalable model. And that's when I started to look for other opportunities to just grow as a business person. I am just a scientist to the core. So, I had no traditional business training when I first started my company. So throughout my university experience, I was exposed to the College of Business and Student Enterprise at the University of Guelph. And they have a really incredible program called the Hub Incubator Program. And what it's a semester long it's a semester long program, and essentially you meet once a week and you're provided with mentorship. There's a little bit of a grant in there, so you have some funds to work with. And it's really about taking your idea and creating it into a scalable business model. So a lot of customer discovery and figuring out your value prop and things like that. So I started that in January of 2017, and at the time I did have a product line that I was selling. So it had about 20 products in it, and it was hair, skin, and makeup. So it was quite extensive. And
Wow.
so when I started that program, I kind of thought that this was the direction I was going to go. I was just going to refine this product line and just continue under the same name, which at the time it was Sole Luna Cosmetics. And then during this whole program, I really just reevaluated, and I worked a lot on finding a good value proposition and like what's going to make me different. Because when I started making green beauty products and green skincare, I was 14 years old, and
Oh, wow.
you couldn't just go buy it. So for me, it was out of a necessity. I had very sensitive skin. Anything that I bought would just break me out, give me rashes, things like that. And natural skincare was not as popular, and so it was very, very luxury, very high price. So as a 14-year-old girl, that was not in my budget. And so I started making my own skincare. And so from there, it was always just about, making good products for sensitive skin using plants. But throughout that incubator program, I really realized that that's not enough because there's all these different lines that are popping up that are exactly that. And so I had to find something that made me really different. And I knew that I really wanted to have a very science-based business because I had a passion for biochemistry and research. And it just so happened at the same time, I was actually doing a co-op semester out at the University of British Columbia. So I was working for a professor named Dr. Susan Murch, who did all the nutritional aspects and studies on fruit. And so she hired me to actually look at non-food uses. And because I had a skincare cosmetics background, that's the first place I started looking. So at the same time I was in this incubator program, I was also doing research where I actually had the opportunity to discover and play with a novel skincare ingredient. So they just so happened to be kind of aligned and just were happening at the same time. I was looking for a key differentiator, something to really make me different in a very crowded space. And then I was given the opportunity to actually find that key differentiator. So that's when I did discover the skincare benefits of breadfruit, and I decided to discontinue my previous product line and just focus on creating very sustainable products. And while I was working for this professor, she really opened my eyes to a couple of things. The first being just the unsustainable sourcing of plant material. We always associate a green product as being better for the environment for some reason, but we don't really think about what goes into making a green product. And I mean, I would argue that most green products are actually more detrimental to the environment because they take a lot more resources like water, sunlight, transportation, things like that. You're actually taking resources from Mother Nature year after year, versus when synthetic products are made, they're just being produced in a lab, 24 hours a day with limited input. And so that really opened my eyes, and it was not something I had thought about before when I was making skincare products. And so that was really incredible. The second thing I realized is that there's a lot of adulteration that's now going on in my industry. So, you buy olive oil and it's never actually a mixture of all these different cheaper oils and, with all these things added to it, so it looks like olive oil. So that was something that I was not aware of. And so that made me really reevaluate what I was doing. And I actually discontinued my previous product line and just went full-fledged for something way more sustainable and novel. And the Hub Incubator program really helped me to, you know, do all of that work, discover my value prop and my customers, and really develop a really strong business plan. And that program also gave me access to mentors. So in Guelph, I live in Guelph, and there's a business organization called Innovation Guelph, and they provide a lot of support for local businesses, startups, small businesses. And so I had a mentor from Innovation Guelph during this whole Hub Incubator program, and it actually opened up me to apply for other type of incubator or mentorship and grant opportunities within Innovation Guelph. So right out of one incubator program, I went into another one, and I started the fuel injection program with Innovation Guelph. And so that was, it's actually funded by the federal government. So it's a $30,000 non-repayable grant. And then it also provides you with like over 100 hours of mentorship, which was just phenomenal. So that I started that program, and that was really to bring my new product line to market. So I guess, that's definitely a lot, but I was doing all of this while I was a student, and the reason I could do both is because I always aligned my research goals with my business goals. Mm-hmm. I was doing a research semester. I was actually able to do research for my company and just continue the development of that. And what really allowed me to do that is just reaching out to people and, you know, volunteering for professors that had the resources that I knew I was needing on the line, and just making those connections ahead of time so that when I needed them, they approached me with open arms and were willing to kind of let me do what I needed to do for my business.
Wow. I'm like floored by your journey and how quickly it has evolved in such a short period of time. Like really, in less than 2 years, you kind of scrapped an original idea, started a new idea, and now you're launching that. And I really want to get into kind of like the mindset. Because first and foremost, even in my first year classes, like they haven't even had a full day of class yet. I'm coming into the school and inspiring them and saying like, just focus on what you need to do right now to get through school. You know, in maybe in fourth year, in your last year, you can start looking at the business model. I'm really curious about innately for you to say, like, number one, actually, the first question I have for you is, how did you even say, this is what I'm doing? I am making it happen. This is my dream. I don't care what gets in my way. I will find a way to do this. Because a lot of us, especially that have that entrepreneurial spirit, we have dreams and ideas and goals and things like that all the time. But it's very easy to get persuaded by family members, significant others, friends being like, that sounds crazy. Why don't you just get a real job, right? So I'd really love to start just from the idea of creating a product line and how you kind of blocked out from anybody in your life that could be perhaps being negative or saying like, this is not a good idea. And you just like gung-ho went for it.
Yeah, for sure. So I think the first thing that comes to mind is a quote that I heard when I was young. And I mean, if you see me on social media, it's in all of my bios, because it's something that I just really resonated with me and that I live by. And that is, grow your own food, make your own future. And so when I was young, I heard that, and, you know, I thought more that it related to actual food. But as I grew up, like throughout my teenage years, I really realized, like, you know, if I want to do my own thing in this world and be my own boss and be a leader, I'm going to be the only one that can make that happen. And so I have to start now. So I think that quote really kind of kickstarted a mentality for me that if I want something, that I'm the only one that's going to be able to make that happen. And so, you know, it's just, I think it allowed me to take more risks because I knew that that was, you know, the way I wanted to live my life. And so I was less fearful of the consequences of taking big risks, because I knew that, you know, I'd rather fail a million times than just not try at all. And yeah, so I think from the get-go, I've just always been someone that, you know, I'd see someone make something and I'd be like, I think I can just do that myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to pay someone to do that. I'll just do it myself. So I've always been a very DIY kind of person. Actually, when I was in high school, that's when I started my first company, and it was making jewelry and hippie pants. And so I would buy a skirt from Value Village and for $3, make it into pants and sell it for $20. And I just thought I was a genius, right? So
yeah, you are a genius.
I just had this idea of like, you know, I can do that. I can make mm-hmm. that. And so I knew that I would not be okay with working in some type of corporate setting. Also, I know that in sciences, like if you want to make it to the top, you're going to have to be at the bottom for a very long time.
Yes.
And I think, unfortunately, that really kills creativity and drive and innovation, just being stuck in the routine for, you know, maybe 10, 15 years. And I knew that that was basically my only option. You know, you graduate from biochemistry degree, you go work as a lab tech for a few mm-hmm. years, move up and move up and move up. And by the time you're in a position to do anything cool, you've lost all the drive and, you know, kind of vitality to want to do anything innovative. And so I definitely didn't want that to happen with me. I know that I'm probably going to be, you know, have the most energy and be the most creative over, you know, maybe the next 10 years, because I've just got a lot of ideas and a lot of hype. And so I didn't want to just be stuck doing the routine. And I yeah. knew that with my degree, that was, it's more likely the case. So I knew I had to make a path that was just going to be my own and very different. I also had someone say to me, so I was in the co-op program for biochemistry. So, you know, every semester off, you're actually working in your field, which mm-hmm. was great. But at that first co-op meeting, which is maybe the third week of school, one person said, if you're going to do anything this year, you know, first year university, just volunteer in a lab. And I remember hearing that and thinking to myself, nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to do that in their first year. Like, you're stressed out, you're partying, you're making new friends. And so I decided, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be the one
yeah.
my entire class that does that. And I guarantee you, I was probably the only person, but I volunteered in the lab. I made a great connection. He hired me for my first co-op. I got phenomenal research experience, gave me the credentials I needed to do my next job. And so it really just set me on this path of, like, you know, take your own initiative and take opportunities that arise.
Amazing. Now, it sounds like, you know, you set everything up for yourself. It sounds like a relatively easy flow, but I'm sure there was definitely some points, especially being a student and balancing all these things, where it was not so easy. And I'm curious about those stories as well, because I find when we paint our picture of what our journey was or whatever, we always highlight the good parts. But I always like to kind of break things down into the real side of the story. So if that's okay, I kind of want us to go there a little bit. Not saying that you have a negative story, but there's always struggles and there's always negotiations you have to make with, instead of doing this, I'm choosing to do this. I would love to hear some of that, especially in the beginning. And then I'd really love to hear how it was to have put all this energy into creating your original line and then actually, like, just scrapping it and starting from scratch. So let's start at the very beginning, like the innovative side, where you're like, I'm going to actually make this happen while still being a student.
Yeah, for sure. So I think kind of the biggest thing that sticks out for me as far as a struggle is the fact that I just had to accept that I was not going to have the same university experience as most people. And I was not going to, you know, just be able to hang out on a Friday night and drink and go party and whatever. And I was going to have a very different experience and, you know, start kind of working from the get-go. And I've always been a very, you know, kind of solo person, not extremely social. So that was okay for me. But it's definitely, you know, you see a lot of people doing things that you're like, oh, I'd love to be doing that, but I'm just here labeling things.
Right.
And there's a lot of just give and take and lonely long hours and things like that. But I think what has really made a difference is a strong support system that I have. So really supportive friends and family that have helped me along the way and supported my journey. But yeah, I mean, with my first product line, I had no idea what I was doing. I have no marketing background. And so each product that I would launch, I wouldn't actually launch it. You know, I'd put something in my shop and just, like, hope people would buy it.
This is an online shop, you mean?
Yeah, so it was just kind of like failure after failure after failure, and I didn't really know what to do and what was going on. And so I did that for probably 2 years, just kind of putting out products and not really knowing how to promote them or doing anything like that. That's really why these incubator programs, I think, are so important, because for someone without a business background running a business, it like that was a way for me to get free education on the skills that I needed to acquire to really be a good businesswoman. And so I didn't have a lot of, there was not a lot of like pain with letting go of that old product line, because it was just, you know, it was fun and people love the products, but for me it was just like a whole slurry of failures, and it was a great learning experience, and I'm so glad I did it and put those there and went through that. But you know, I really felt like I had grown a lot and kind of grown out of it, and so letting that go was just almost a relief. It's like, wow, I'm doing something better, and I'm really proud of that.
Now, how do you pick yourself up from the failures? Because, a lot of the people that are listening, they're not going to have a product line, but your failures are going to be perhaps, and of course we hate using the term failure, but whatever, let's call it what it is. It could be like doing a presentation and nobody books in with you. So that's very disheartening because you put a lot of time and effort into crafting the presentation. You spend an hour or two with these people, giving up your time, going there, setting up, taking down. Everybody, of course, says they would love to buy it. Nobody does. Nobody books in with you. So after, a series of doing that, you eventually want to just say, well, I'm never doing a seminar again. Or the same thing could be a webinar or a trade show or any of these other pieces that we have to try to drive business into our practices. How do you just keep like putting something out there, accepting that it was a failure, and keep going and keep going and keep going?
Yeah, for sure. I think in our society, we focus a lot on our failures and, you know, the things that we haven't done or, you know, didn't do yet and things like that. And so I think anytime I would fail at something, I would work really hard to remind myself of what I have done right and, you know, the successes that I have had and how far I've come. Like, you know, I might have failed at one thing, but even 2 months ago, would I have like dreamed of even doing that, you know? So I always try and focus on, well, what did I accomplish today? And like what went right? And I think it just flips your mindset. And if you're just focusing on, oh, I failed, I failed, I failed, and I'm gonna just keep failing, well, then you are just gonna keep failing. But if you can kind of break down those failures and see, well, what did go right and what went wrong, it's just a big learning experience. And I actually find that, you know, the biggest things that I remember are the failures, and not even the painful parts of it, but like what came after and like how much I grew from that and how much I learned. And so that really keeps me going. Another thing that does really keep me going, even like, I mean, I am still failing. So last weekend I went to a trade show, and you know, it was just dead. And we put a lot of money into it, and I hired staff to be there, and it's my time and their time, and you know, and it wasn't the turnout that we really thought it was going to be. But at the end of the day, we have done a lot in the past 6 months, and I'm so proud of that. So one weekend's not going to really ruin all of that for me, even though it was a bit of a loss. So I can, you know, still just focus on the good that comes out of these types of failures. And, you know, from that weekend, I've just learned that maybe I need to actually just change my expectations for those types of events and, you know, change my mindset. And then it wouldn't have been considered a failure if I was really just expecting a different type of result. So I think it just can also help, like reframe our mind for the next time we go about something and just kind of grow as a person.
I love that. And then the other thing that's really sticking out in my mind with regards to your story is when you transformed from the old line to the new line, knowing that it was a crowded market, you had to find a way to stand out, and this is exactly what we struggle with as, excuse me, nutritionists or naturopathic doctors or whatever line that we're in, there's a lot of us out there. And we all have the same kind of approach to the same kind of conditions with our own personal flair, but it still can get muddied in the overall like ocean that is healthcare. So I'm really curious what some of the big key takeaway points were, those aha moments, those light bulb moments you had where you're like, oh, this is what I need to do to stand out, or this is what I'm doing right now to look like everybody else. This is what I need to change.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, for me, it's definitely a few different factors. I think, unfortunately, a lot of the green beauty products and brands that are coming out right now are not backed by science. And that was something that I kept seeing time and time again. Really kind of unsafe products, almost unsafe advice, like medical claims being put on products, things like that. And just to me, it's mind-blowing. So I knew that I could come approach things from my science perspective and my research perspective and really share that with my consumer base and educate them on kind of the, you know, the falsities that exist in the industry. Mm-hmm. So that's something that is kind of that key differentiator for me. And then also just I had the opportunity to discover something totally novel, which I think is really exciting. And so that brings a lot of opportunity, I think, for me just as a person and as a scientist to see we don't know everything and there's always room to grow and learn and be better. And I don't just want to be a skincare company, but I want to be a leader in my industry and really, you know, take on that role of setting the bar higher and, you know, creating a better standard. So I think it's different between kind of a product and service, but I think, you know, you just have to find your thing that makes you very, very different. And for me, it's, you know, I'm this total nerd scientist that just loves research, but I also love skincare and makeup and beauty. And that's kind of something that is very different and unique. And a lot of people really relate with that also, which I've been finding, which is amazing too. So yeah, I think it takes a long time. So yeah, I had a company for 4 years before I even knew what my key differentiator was. And I think it's okay to keep playing and shifting and figuring out what works for you until you really find that sweet spot.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually kind of, there's two big takeaways that I'm getting from your story, which I'm really hoping people are also hearing. Number one, all of the opportunities that fell into your lap throughout this entire process, you found them. And that's what I find a lot of people are doing wrong in this industry is they are waiting for somebody to reach out to them. They are waiting for someone to contact them. They are waiting to align with this one big person and that will be their big shot. But you are so much like I was. Every opportunity I've created for myself, I made it happen. Mm-hmm. I created jobs for myself that otherwise weren't there. And I really want everybody to consider that as well is, you know, when you are set to open up your own business, you need to create everything for yourself. You need to go out and find the opportunities. You need to go out and find the talks. You need to go out and find the mentors. You need to go out and find the grants. You need to go out and do all those things and do them just like what you've been doing, Kenna, is with unwavering relentlessness. Like, this is going to work. I'm going to make this happen. I don't care what gets in my way. But always being malleable to change, which is another thing that I find a lot of people don't do, is they pick one direction and that's the lane that they're going in and that's what they're going to stick with, despite the fact that social media is now becoming a big thing. So if everyone is like, well, I'm only doing word of mouth, I'm not even making a website, I'm not using the internet, so sorry, like, you're going to be gone pretty soon. You have to kind of roll with the times. And even for you to be looking at your industry and seeing where the weaknesses are and creating a hole for yourself, like a niche, it's amazing. So I want everybody to like hear that in your story and approach their business with the same grit. That's what I did. Even for you to get on this podcast, you reached out to me. I didn't know who you were prior to this. And now, like, I'm thrilled that you're sharing your story with everybody. And the other big message is you created a business for 4 years and you did it the way you thought it had to be done without any knowledge or mentorship. And aligning yourself with a mentor or a coach is really what made the difference for you. But again, you were willing to scrap everything you had done for 4 years and start fresh and continue to grow in a new direction. And that's also something that I want everybody to understand is even in my business, I started my practice thinking a certain way, being a certain way 4 years later, did all kinds of other things, came back to kind of the same approach, but with more knowledge to back it up. My messaging is constantly evolving. I'm trying to figure out my direction, what I stand for, and this is 7 years out. And I am following business mentors now that are doing the exact same thing, and they've been out for 15 or 20 years. So how you create your business in the beginning is never how it's going to look in the end, and it shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And I hope that people are taking away those messages, because that's really like the most important part of this journey is you're in it for the long haul. It is always going to look different on a day-to-day basis, and you have to be malleable to those changes. Anything else that you'd add?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's also, it's a huge advantage of being small. You get to be nimble and you get to make those decisions like, you know what, let's just cut it. Let's drop that. Let's start something new. And that is a huge advantage of being a solopreneur or just a small business owner. I think you can just make those quick decisions and really go with your gut, go with the flow, and be open to, you know, criticism, feedback, and really take that in and change. Like even, yeah, just owning a product line, it's hard to produce products and get the labels and ingredients and everything. But through feedback from my customers, I have actually updated formulations so that they're better and, you know, so that they like them more. And the only reason I can do that is because I'm small and I can make those quick decisions to change for the better and always be up to date and relevant.
The final question that is kind of the overarching question to this entire thing is, are you happy that you started this while you were a student, or do you think, knowing how busy you are trying to get through university and building a business line, that maybe waiting until you were done would have been also a really great option, because then you can put 100% of your focus there? And of course the answer is what it is, but for anybody who's listening, what would you say?
Yeah, so I'm just going to, you know, this is totally my experience, but I would not have done as well in my university degree if I didn't have my business. I would not have had an application for everything that I learned without my company. I would not be constantly thinking about how I can use my education to better my company. And it just made everything that I was learning so relevant, and I actually cared about it all, and it brought it into a new light. I remember doing my first, basically my first research project, and it really all came together. I was like, wow, I'm using equations that I learned in like grade 9. Like, you actually have to use this stuff. And it really, like, light bulbs just went off in my head. And it's like, if you have that application for your education, it's going to really just make it so much more important to you and make it a bigger part of your life. And ultimately, that's going to affect your career moving forward. I also think that if I waited until, say, my fourth year to take the opportunities that had arisen, well, they would have been gone. You know, opportunities come and go. And so if you just think that, oh, maybe I'll wait till next year or the year after, maybe I'll be less busy then, like, you know, there's never really the good time or, you know, the golden time to do anything. And I think that if opportunity arises, you know, the universe is telling you something and you should just take it. And that's what I've always done and been a risk taker. And yeah, it's been a really busy 4.5 past years of my life, but I definitely wouldn't have wanted it to go any slower, or I wouldn't have traded it for, you know, a more leisurely university experience. And I just think that if I actually had waited till my fourth year, I might not even start a company. You know, I might have just done research and just go into more research or go work in industry. You know, I don't know I would have had the same passion and pep that I do, because I've just carried that momentum throughout my whole university experience. And now that I'm finishing, I have so much drive and passion for what I'm doing, because I've built a career for myself and I've built a future for myself that wasn't otherwise there. And I just know there's a lot of people that are graduating, like all of my friends are graduating right now, and they don't know what they're doing. You know, they're like, I'm going to go to Australia for 2 months.
Right.
And so it's really nice that I've really built something that I feel comfortable going into and that is very different, but is very my path and is very me. And I honestly don't know if I would be if I hadn't started it so early, because, you know, it just forced me into this lifestyle that I think is the entrepreneurial lifestyle. You're just, you know, you're always hustling. And so I definitely think that if you do have this entrepreneurial passion and you are thinking about starting a business, just like take small steps. You know, there's, I think it's futurepreneur.ca. You could make a, it's like a step-by-step business plan. Like take it slow, spend an afternoon just brainstorming names, like make it fun and take really baby steps to get there. And you'll see that, you know, it's actually a fun pastime and a way to spend your time. And yeah, I think that there's a lot of ways to make it not just like this big daunting, like no social life, horrible experience. Like you can really make it your life. And that's something that I think just comes also with practice. Like when I first started my business, yeah, it was like, you know, 60 hours a week. That's all I did. Never saw anyone. But now I do take time and I enjoy the small things, smell the flowers, spend time with family. But yeah, I definitely would not have waited until now because I just wouldn't be where I am now. And I really appreciate the entire journey that I've been through. Also, as a student, you have incredible resources that you do not have when you're out
so
of school.
So true.
Like the, you know, the millions of dollars of equipment that I've been able to use for my company that I wouldn't have otherwise had access to is amazing. And so when you're in an institution like that, like use those resources, use the people around you because they are experts and you're in a great space for support and ideas. And yeah.
And if people wanted to check out your product line, see what you do or get in touch with you, what are some of the best ways?
Yeah, for sure. So my product line is altilisbeauty.com. Altilis is the species name of breadfruit, if that's just kind of a weird word. It is a science Latin word. But other than that, you can find me on Instagram, either on altilisbeauty or just Kenna Whitnell is my personal one. I do also have a YouTube channel. So I do weekly videos, just kind of chit chat, usually just doing my makeup, talking skincare, things like that. So that is also just Kenna. But yeah, that's where you can find me. Please do connect with me. I'd love to connect with some of your listeners.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much for being so honest and real and sharing your story. I really loved having you on.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
So there you have it, folks. I hope you loved that interview with Kenna. I thought she was wonderful. And even after we were all done, I was like, I am so proud of you. And I saw a lot of myself in her. And I hope you guys will see a lot of yourselves in her as well. And really make your business happen. No plan B approach. Just get it done and make it be the only thing that you are going to do from now until the day that you die. And of course, be prepared for it to evolve and be prepared for the failures as we talked about. But one of the key factors for her that really made the change was seeking out mentorship, people who have done it, who have the expertise, who have the knowledge. And I would love to be that person for you. Whether you are thinking about starting, you are starting, or you have started, I can give you insight into the things that I have done that has worked. I can help you skip a lot of steps and get significant traction on how you can stand out in your business and create the life that you want. So please reach out to me, info@themaxummovement.com. Send me a personal email and we can set up a strategy call. Otherwise, as I've said on previous shows, I am on Instagram @AndreaMaximND and you can always drop me a direct message there. And I cannot wait to hear from you and then see what we can do together to just take off your business. I hope that you are enjoying the Profitable Practice podcast. Always drop me a review in iTunes or on the website so that I know how you are loving these shows, maybe not so loving these shows. Either way, I want to hear from you. And I will see you on the next episode. I'm Andrew Maxim, and I'm out. You guys are killer. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Profitable Practice podcast. Leave me a comment, and if you haven't already, I would love a review in iTunes. Definitely subscribe to this podcast and leave me a quick review. For those ready to maximize your practice, contact me at www.maximizedbusiness.ca.